Welcome to the Book Topia podcast. I'm John Purcell. I'm here with Olivia Crowley, and we're delighted to be sitting across from Michael Clark, who's just written an autobiography or a memoir called My Story. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, My Story, because you're a young man. You've set back, you've done a few things in your life, and you're just penning the first volume of what hopefully will be a many-volume autobiographical series, I suppose, at the end of it. Now, for those who don't know who Michael Clark is, the six people in Australia who've never heard of Michael Clark, he plays cricket very, very, very well. And he's done extraordinary things in his young life. And the book is a very honest look at that first. Was it 35, 40? I mean, how old are you?
35 years, yeah. Well, I think it is. I think it's very self-reflective, and I didn't want this to be just a cricket book. It's about my life. It's about the highs and lows of life, the things I've experienced through my journey, and there's certainly been some tough times there with some illness in and around my family, losing a couple of very good friends along the way. To be able to deal with that and then try and still play sport at the highest level, I kept a lot of stuff in, and I wasn't very my personality is to hold things and deal with it in my own way, but I guess this is probably my first time that I've been completely open and honest and very self-reflective. I think I certainly made some mistakes along the way, but I've had a wonderful 35 years. I'm really proud of where I've come from, being a Western Suburbs boy in Sydney growing up, and you know, to where I've been lucky enough to get to. So I hope the readers get a sense and get to feel a part of my journey.
It was, we got to see on 60 Minutes last night, so we're recording this after the 60 Minutes, and there were some pretty tough questions thrown at you by 60 Minutes. It seems to be a liberty taken with celebrities and sports stars and writers even, where people feel they can, you know, make these statements and make these and discuss things quite openly about how others see you. And you rightly, to one of the questions, went, I can't really tell how the other team members saw me because I'm not them.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah, look, I think it's society these days, especially now with social media. You know, you are spoken about on a daily basis, no matter who you are. You're a sportsman, you're a business person, you're a young boy or young girl at school. You know, people go online straight away, and it's everything's spoken about so regularly. So I think you accept what comes with playing sport at the highest level. It's not no longer just about what you do on the field. There's an attraction off the field as well. So I've always believed that everybody is entitled to their opinion, but I also believe that you need to be yourself. You need to be proud of who you are. And I guess that's, you know, last night I made it very clear that I have nothing to apologise for. I'm really proud of the way my family, my parents brought my sister and I up. My core values have not changed from a young man to where I sit today, and I hope I can bring my daughter up in the same way as my mum and dad brought my sister and I up. So, I never planned to be different. I accept that there has been things through my career that I've been seen in a different light, but, you know, my value of playing cricket and my respect of that association being an Australian cricketer is no different to anybody that has come before me, and I can hold my head high.
Well, some of the criticism was talking about your younger years. I mean, you're a young guy who's made it big, and in any situation, whether it's business or sport or music, people like to sort of enjoy their sudden wealth and success. You look like a young man who was taking great advantage of the sudden success that you experienced.
Yeah, well, maybe, like I say, that's, you know, I certainly don't sit here and say I made no mistakes. I made plenty. I think there's an evenness, a consistency to life that you try and grab a hold of. And it might have taken me a little bit longer than I would have liked to have got to that stage in my life. Again, I think it's the highs and lows through the journey that make you the person you are. And that's why I say I would not like to change anything I went through, even those tough times, even when I did cop the criticism. That made me stronger and made me more aware of who I am as a person and what I stand for. So, you know, I have no regrets. I have a lot of lessons that I've learned that I hope I can now, you know, help educate through my cricket academy, help educate young boys and girls so they don't make the same mistakes as I did. But like I say, I have no reason to apologise. I'm very proud of who I am today.
So, what would you, for all these young girls and guys coming through, what would be your biggest advice from your experience going through?
I think the acceptance of who you are and understand and respect that there's nothing wrong with being different. You know, if you want to have Italian for dinner, go and have Italian. If somebody else wants Chinese, then go and have Chinese. You don't all need to be the same. For me, you know, I guess the perception of an Australian cricketer is a certain way, and I probably didn't fit that exact mould. But like I say, that didn't mean I didn't value playing for my country any less than somebody that did fit that mould. I was determined, I was hungry. I went through highs and lows, but I had a very clear goal and dream that I wanted to achieve, and I feel like I chased that exceptionally hard, and I'm really proud that I didn't quit. There were times where it would have been a lot easier to walk away, but I'm very thankful I didn't. And, you know, that's probably my message to my little girl, to my daughter, to, you know, don't let the people that say you can't achieve or you shouldn't achieve or you don't deserve to achieve, don't let those people stop you. Get out of bed every single day and try and become better and be proud of who you are.
So you've had writing experience before because you've done the captain's diaries and the like, but
yeah.
this is an empty page, which is completely different to that.
Yeah,
this
definitely.
Is starting with looking at you as a person right from the beginning and your family relations, your friendships throughout your career. That must be a daunting blank page to stare at.
The hardest part for me was actually turning around for the first time in my life and looking backwards. You know, I've always been determined to get better, and no matter what I was achieving, a lot of the time I didn't stop and smell the roses. I was looking to that next goal or how I can get better. So, you know, I really enjoyed being able to stop, press pause, turn around and have a look at where I'd come from to where I am today. And it was a fantastic experience. I'm so happy I did it. I guess a big part of why I wrote the book was you never know what's going to happen in life. And now having a 10-month-old little girl, if something was to happen to me today, she doesn't know who her father is, and I believe one day when she gets to read the book, she'll know exactly who her dad is and what he stands for and what his values are. And I really enjoyed going back to where it all began, back in Liverpool. And you know, I had a lot of my mates along the way that I spoke to help me remember certain things we did as kids. And I went back to my old house, back to my old school. It's just great to turn around and reflect. And like I say, I realise how lucky I've been to have such a wonderful family and great friends to guide me through the first 35 years of this journey. But I'm hoping there's a lot more, and I look forward to the new challenges that come ahead.
So there are things that rose up in papers over that time, relationships with certain members of the team, those sort of things. You would have to, in reporting that period of your life, you would have to look at the two sides. And because you've got a bit of distance, you can then, I suppose, make a judgment of whether you acted in the right way or the wrong way. Were there any times where you went, what were you thinking, Michael Clarke?
Oh, plenty. That's why I say the book is very self-reflective. I think there's a number of things, a number of times through my career where I think I was out of line or I said the wrong thing or I didn't understand the other side. So to be able to step away and look from afar and see both sides, I hope I give that the credibility it deserves in the book. And like I say, if I'm critical of anyone, I think throughout the book I'm pretty critical of myself. I've made so many great friends along this journey, travelled to so many beautiful parts of the world, and I'm forever grateful to the game of cricket. Without cricket, I have no idea where I'd be. I said all through my career that the game owes me nothing, I owe it everything, and I probably mean that more now than ever.
So We haven't really discussed the cricket side of things. Now, the reason why there are hundreds of thousands of people clamouring for your new book is because you've been the captain of Australia. You've been one of the best batsmen we've ever seen. Are there any highlights that just stand out, and then when you're writing it, you go, you know, that was the point in my life where I think I hit the sort of the pinnacle or a passage that I went through that I thought, good work. Michael, you did well there.
Probably not, because again, I was probably always thinking I want to get better.
Yeah. Really? Is it, even when you're doing holding the bat up with 329, you're
going, I wanted to make 400. Well, the next game, I wanted to get 300 again. Yeah. You know, I think that's one of the things my wife has taught me, to actually enjoy the journey a lot more, stop and, you know, smell the roses. And it's easier said than done with my personality. But, you know, I think all through my career, I was so privileged to play with so many great players, you know, players that go down as the greatest of all time in Australian cricket. These guys were my mentors when I was such a young man, so I'm really blessed. I think the era, the generation I played in, you know, I couldn't ask for anything better. And you know, any time we won as a team, it was very special. I think, you know, beating England in Australia, I think I'm the only player to beat them 5-0 twice, once as captain and once as a player. That will stay with me forever.
You had T-shirt, mate.
Yeah, I should. Unfortunately, probably is so special because we never won in England in my career. That was the only thing I never really achieved. So, you know, beating England in Australia, winning World Cups, I was a part of two World Cup winning teams. That was very special as well. When I took over the captaincy from Australia, we were ranked 5th in the world in Test cricket. And then to be able to build back up and get back to number one in the world after beating South Africa in their own backyard is something that, you know, I'm probably most proud of. So it's not really the individual performance. I was never a big one for statistics. I never cared too much about, you know, what I averaged or how many games I played. It was more about the way I played. I always believed that people, you know, I remember cricketers for the way they went about it, the way they played the game. So I tried to play that way. I tried to be aggressive and positive and tried to entertain.
So this is something that you believe you can teach because you have an academy.
Yeah, I do. I have my own cricket academy. So my goal is to help young boys and girls, I guess, learn from a young age what it takes to play sport at the highest level. And again, I've never had media training. I never knew anything about social media. I thought playing cricket for Australia meant go bat, go bowl, go field. I didn't know there was stuff off the field you had to do as well. So my goal is to give these young boys and girls a look at that before they get to international level, so they're prepared, they've experienced it, they know what to expect along this road to success. And, you know, I'm realistic enough to know that a lot of them aren't going to play sport at the highest level, but I think if we can help them be more confident in themselves, learn a lot more about social media in particular and bullying and how to deal with that, let them know how important, you know, the education side of life is, because no matter what you go into, even into sport, you know, education is such a big part of that. So, you know, I think that gives me my cricket fix. That's probably why I'm happily retired now, and I feel I get that satisfaction now that I used to get playing at the highest level in helping these young boys and girls.
I was wondering, because we were discussing it, you've just been doing a bit of signing for us, which is very kind of you, and we were discussing it. This book will be given to a lot of young men as Christmas presents. I can imagine that the parents tapping on the back saying, yeah, be like him.
There'll be someone saying the opposite. Yeah. Don't be like him. Stay away.
But there are opportunities, I think, there for a book down the line. You know, because one of the things that I think is missing is, you know, successful people talking directly to that 12 to say 17-year-old boy. And you're meeting a lot in your academy, and you're learning how to talk to them. So it'll be an opportunity, I think, if your publisher's listening, to go down that path.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I think, again, I would never want to write a book for the sake of writing a book. If I can help someone or a number of people, then, you know, that's an important part of my autobiography as well, to allow people to see what it's like when you're in the spotlight and to feel what that's like through the tough times and through the good times, and get closer to the players and closer to me. And, you know, I've tried to bring the reader along on a journey like they're sitting beside me from 6 years of age to 35. So I hope they get that feeling. And I think that's probably an area that we need to continue to work on in society with young boys and girls. But that, you know, that age you're talking about from 12 to 17 is a really important time for these boys and girls, because you make a lot of choices in that time. And as we've all done, mum and dad are 99% of the time right. They will tell us what the difference is between right and wrong, but it's our parents, so we don't always want to believe them. So I think if you can have someone or something to look to help guide you when you're making a decision, or help have, you know, have sat in your shoes and you feel like they've sat in your shoes and you can learn from their experiences, then, you know, if I can help in any way, I'd love to be able to do that. I think there's nothing more satisfying than seeing a young boy or a young girl chase their dream. Whether they make it or not is irrelevant. Yeah. But when you see that look in their eye when they get out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning to, you know, to go and do what they have dreamt of doing, it's such an amazing journey to be on. And, you know, I guess for my mum and dad, they got to see that from such a young age. But, you know, I'm really lucky through my academy, I get to see that as well. And like I say, this is not about cricket. My book's not about cricket. My book's about life and being able to find ways to deal with it in the best of your ability, and understand that, you know, you can't make it to the top on your own. You need help, you need support, you need family, you need friends, and with that support, I believe you can achieve anything.
Michael, thank you very much for coming. It's been a delight to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me in this wonderful studio.
Michael's book, My Story, is available on booktopia.com.au right now.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.